Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Lamed Hey. We're holding the last three lines on daf Lamed Dalet Amid Beis. This shir is being given in Dus, Tunisia, not far from Djerba. We're up to Omer Rava Travayu Tanoni. What is Rava referring to? Rava is going back on the Gemara that we learned at the end of yesterday's Amid Beis. And it'd be kedai to quickly review it again to understand what Rava is addressing. So we go back to Omer Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shoal Rabbi Yishmoel, about 10 lines from the bottom of the Omer. Vosh teit Omer Rav ad Chavuya, Omer Rav hamekadish beperish shor haniskol mikudeshes. Beperish, egla avoydes kechovim eina mikudeshes. You're talking about a chusin, he comes to the chasana and he forgot to bring along a ring for his kala. Oh, but he still has other options, and his other option is he has with him perish. Perish is the waste. When it comes out of the animal, it's the glolim. Here, lechayre, we're talking about that it's still in the animal itself, and he wants to makadish with the perish of that waste of the shor haniskol. We know a shor haniskol is osir bahano, sokli soker hashor, and shtein husik v'lo yeochel es psoroi uval hashor noki. The Gemara dashes val hashor noki. Yotze ba'al noki min achosav ve'inli hano'a shel klum. Shor haniskol is osir bahano. But the perish of the shor haniskol, says Rav, mikudeshes. It works. On the other hand, the perish of egli avodis chichavim, if you have a golem, a young calves, which are going to be used for avodis zara, which have been used for avodis zara, in other words, for atakroivis avodis zara, then the perish inside ain't mikudeshes. And the obvious question is, manishtana, why is this perish works? They both waste inside an animal. L'choyra, both shor haniskol is osir bahano, and avodah zarah is osir bahano. Why here mekudeshes, ain't mekudeshes? Iboy yisei mesvara, iboy yisei mekra. Iboy yisei mesvara, dabli eglas avodah chichavim, nichalei benafche. When he brings in this animal, which is nice and robust and big, full with all that waste in it, the galach in the local church says to him, oh, wow, Willie, you brought such a wonderful avodah zarah. What such a wonderful takrivus avodah zarah. Megitta maganza mishabera. And therefore, nichalei benafche, it's a piece of the avodah zarah itself. And just like the avodah zarah itself is osir bahano, so too the nafche, that waste, is also osir bahano. Avagar shor haniskol lo nichalei benafche. Somebody has a shor haniskol. Shor haniskol, you know, means a shor which l'choyre has killed three people one after the other. It could also be a case of a shor haniskol which engaged in aroyis with a man or with a woman, which also goes l'skila. As far as the balam of this animal is concerned, he has no longer any benefit from the animal, so he could care less whether the animal is robust and fat or it's a scrawny animal. We're on Lamed Dalet Amid Bey.
A shor haniskol, you said he killed three times.
Correct.
I thought a shor haniskol is after one time. If he kills a person, he gets misa right away.
No? I'm being corrected by Mr. Fulton.
I don't know if I'm right.
You are right. The only difference between one time and three times is after three times, and you have to go and pay the damim. You have to go and pay the hezek that you caused in killing someone. The first time you do not. How much do you have to pay? Chutzi nezek. That's hezek shulam. Very good. Shkoye, Mr. Fulda, for correcting me. Thank you very much. So, bottom line is shor niskal, the shor which is being niskal al yedei bezin, either for killing or for engaging in arois with a person. So as far as that person is concerned, I could care less whether the animal happens to be bright and grub, or it's a skinny, scrawny animal. It makes no difference. So that extra piece, since I don't need it for the shor haniskol, it has it's like it's its own entity, bifnei atzmai. Since it's its own entity, is mikudeshes. Think upon this animal as being like a large container called an animal. And in the container, you have a whole bunch of schmutz, a whole bunch of waste. So that schmutz is not needed by the animal. In fact, let the animal go to the bathroom shortly, and all of it is going to drain out very quickly. So all of that is a separate entity of the animal. Therefore, if it has a sheva pruta, and he's mekadeshes isha mikudeshes. Mash enkin, if you're talking about the egg of avodas chacham, he wants the animal to be as very bright and grub as possible, so that everybody there in the church will say, "Hey, Willie brought a carbon today at takrivus avodas zara." He's going to go and get first prize for avodas zara that day. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so that's why in this case mikudesh, and this why any mikudesh. The boy say mikra. That's why avoid zara. Even a mu'uma, a kleinekait, a garnish, liyidbak biyorcha. No hanua, gunish. Ksivasam legab sharnis, kosaki shakashav, liyachal es psori. Psori osir, the basar is osir. For apirshoi. Gesundheit. You're welcome. Apirshoi. However, if you're talking about the parish, that means the shmutz. Muteris, that is mutter, that's not a tofel of basar, it's a separate zach with the atzer. Can I offer you some?
No, thank you.
So bottom line is, we have now these two halachas, perish by ashor and nisko, perish by egle avoides koychov. Here it's mekudeshes, here it's ein mekudeshes, omer rav, trvayu tanani. Both of these halachas, although the Gemara quoted them in the name of Rav Adcharbuya, omer rav, but really they are part and parcel of our Mishnah. We're in our Mishnah. So our Mishnah is now going to equate rennet. Rennet means that substance which is in the cave of the animal, which is used to cause milk to congeal and to become cheese. That, the Gemara holds, is similar to perish, that it's not part and parcel of the animal. And if you're not going to use it for cheese, it's basically waste. And, as you saw in the Mishnah, there's a distinction between the two. What medika omale, nisha mamidim bekevas nevela. Back in our Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel asked Rabbi Yeshua, can you tell me what's the reason why you're not allowed to eat cheese manufactured by a goy? Because after all, we know that the Kodesh Baruch Hu made a nes in the teva of the milk of non-kosher animals, that they cannot produce cheese. You could take milk from horses and from gimalim, from camels, let them stand, it does not become cheese, only from a kosher animal. So what's the problem? Why can't you eat cheese manufactured by a goy? So the Gemara initially said, the Mishnah said, because it becomes ashtikl nevela. It's not because of the goy, it's not because of non-kosher milk, it's milk in a calf, it's milk in a kosher animal. However, it's a nevela, because the goy didn't shecht the animal, and even if he did shecht it, it would be worthless. So it's an nevela. Ah, because mahadalei, he said, that's the reason why the cheese, which is congealed, coagulated there inside the keva, that's the reason why it is, it's not, when we talk about keva, it's not that it's necessarily in the keva, they took the rennet. The rennet is that substance in the keva, removed it, and put it into the milk. That's going to be a crucial chilek later on. Anyway, so since your mother the keva is nevela, become mahadr lay, and so that was what Reb Yeshua said to Reb Shmuel. That's the reason why we cannot eat it, because it's from the velut. Chayot abusa b'chulav, but that's a separate story. Become mahadr lay, and he responds to him. Valakevas oila chamura mekevas nevela. Oila by definition is more chamur than nevela, because nevela only has an isra achila, no isra hano. You're allowed to sell nevela meat. But kevas oila, oila is a din of me'ila, you're not going to have any hanoah, chas v'sholem, you have hanoah from oila, you're moil behegdish, you have to go and bring a korban me'ila, you have to moisef a choymish. So kevas oila chamura mikevas nevela, and the Mishnah says, v'hakoyin, who is not concerned, what was the Lashon HaMishnah, oichel yofa, kevas oila, koyin shedata yofa, that means that he is not finicky, sor v'chai, he can go and drink that rennet, and there's no problem. Melostim, mechibit, yankal akoyin. You want to drink the rennet? It's all yours. How can you do that? Stecha eshtik yisra no. Stecha dinfin meila. Mechal, what do I see from that Mishnah? Mechal, the yisuri hano shoru pirshayu. Because that rennet is considered to be like the perish, like the waste. Ah, and yilad av hano from the waste. Oh, zeytun doch yilad av hano from waste of a korban oila. After that, he gave another reason. He said the reason why you're not allowed to go and use the non-kosher cheese is because they are mamet. Mamet means they coagulate it, they congeal it. Vikavis egle avoidus vichovim. So here we're talking about takroibus avoidus. Viko mahadle, and he ends as him came, lom loyasrua bahano. So it was oi, it should be awesome bahano. Oh, machal davoidus vichovim, osse pirshayu. Ah, so therefore we see from our Mishnah both halachas. What do I mean both halachas? We started off with the carbon oila. Carbon oila, of course, is a carbon. Osir bahano, yet you're allowed to take the perish and eat it. A koyin shedata yofi can go and eat it. Oh, so therefore, it has value. Since it has value, it's not osir bahano. It's what's the bahano? If that's the case, it's just like the case in the Kaddish beperish shor hanisko mikudashes. Because just like over there, not just like over there, just like over here, in our Mishnah, we're saying that a koyin is allowed to eat from that rennet, even though it happens to be the perish of an animal which is osir bahano. But perish is a separate entity, and therefore you can eat it, and therefore you can go and give it for kesef kedushim mikudashes. Masha'en came the case of the egle avodis koychovim. What did Rav say? It's ainu mikudashes. It's just like our Mishnah, where we said that the rennet of that egle avodis koychovim, if it makes it into cheese, he said, it should be osir bahano. Oh, so you see that when you're talking about egle avodis koychovim, it's like osir bahano, and that's why the perish cannot be used for being mekadesh. Isha, it's ainu mekadesh. So Gemara mechalal, davoyis rechovim oser pirshay. So therefore, Rava now has two solid rayas from our Mishnah: one for the case of the shor nisko, which is doyimet to the oila, and the second case was the egle avoyis rechovim, which is the same halacha as the egle avoyis rechovim. Very good. Frank the Gemara lehedale, mishum the lesser liisur beaina. What was the kasha that we just asked? In other words, Rabbi Shmuel asked Rabbi Yeshua, what's the makor of Hilchos cheese, that non-kosher cheese, the cheese of Goyim, is not kosher. So according to this second teretz, he told him, because the mamon became us egla avodis chechovim. What did he answer him? So what is it? That's what it says in the Mishnah, and that's the reason why it's awesome. Frey Timor, why does he answer him? Mishum delesa lisur be'enei. That the reason, patem gefreit, if it happens to be egle avoidus chechovim, then oy bezoi, why isn't it lama liyasru b'hano? Why didn't he go and say that it's osir b'hano? Why is it only osir b'chili? You're not allowed to eat non-kosher cheese, but you're allowed to go and sell non-kosher cheese. Why can you do that? It should be osir b'hano. It's techfer avoidus zara. Zok tumor v'lehedele, he should answer mishum delesi liyasru b'ena. The reason is because the isur is not b'en. What does it mean the isur is not b'en? By definition, you use the rennet to go and create the cheese, and now you look at the cheese and you say, hey, cheese, where's the rennet? Where's the rennet? It's a nishto. Why is it nishto? Because that was the item that you used to produce the cheese. And of course it all evaporated, got absorbed as part of the whole. That was the main ingredient to make the cheese. And yet it's a nishto. So maybe that's the reason why you should be able to go and eat it after all. You should be able to, at least you should be able to have hanor, not to eat it. You should be able to have hanor. Why didn't he answer that? The hamurius l'rabbanim d'lo hanor, because I'll bring you a raya, the case of murius. Murius is that fish hash where they used to go and add yayin nesach, where according to rabbanim, it's osir to eat, but it's not osir b'hanor. Why isn't it osir b'hanor? Yayin nesach is osir b'hanor. The Gemara learned it from a series of psukim, as you recall, back in Daf Chav Tes. My timer. What's the reason why it's Mutrabana la mishum de leisa li yisur b'ayna? Because you look at this murius and you want to see the wine is nishto. It was one ingredient out of this fish ash. Since it no longer exists, that's why it's only osir b'achila, but it's mutrabana. Say the same thing legabe the cheese, that not only should be osir b'achila, it should be osir b'hano. And so what's the reason why murius, it's not osir b'hano? Because leisa li yisur b'ayna. You no longer see the wine. Here, too, in the cheese, you no longer see the rennet. So I should be able to say that it is mutter b'hano. Evdimor ami. Hocha kim di ukme kamoikim choshev leikim an di isel yisura b'enei. So Moritz is a beautiful svar. It's one thing when you are baking a cake and you have 25 ingredients, a bissel fefe and a bissel zalz and a bissel adu and a bissel den. When you finish with a cake, you cannot detect from the cake in any way, shape, or form. You cannot see in it. You can taste it, perhaps, a little bit of sugar and a little bit of salt, but you can't see it anymore. gets all blended into the cake. Over here, the essential aspect of the cheese is that you put the rennet in it. So even though you don't see the rennet, you don't smell the rennet, you can't get, but that's what makes it cheese. Without the rennet, there would be no cheese. So because of that chashivus, we say it does not become bottle mevutel ka'afa da'ara, it remains intact, and that's why the Gemara says you can't shtel tzu the case of the murius to the case of the rennet. With this we conclude the dinim of the non-kosher cheese, but Amiyat Hashem Rabbi said we're going to come back to it. We go off a little bit on a tangent, because as you recall back in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel kept on peppering Rabbi Yeshua with questions and saying, tell me why cheese of a goy is not kosher. And finally Rabbi Yeshua said to Rabbi Shmuel, let's go off on another topic. The Mishnah even used the expression, hisiyoy ledover acher. At the Vekishlap, let's not talk about the cheese now, we'll get back to it tomorrow. Now we're ala fleishik, nam nishred niyat vege milchik. So Omali Yishmuel, heich atakoyri. When you read the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, ki toivin doidecha meyoyin, do you read it doidecha, which is the way we read it, oi ki toivin doidayich? What's the difference between doidecha and doidayich? This is the Lashon Zohar, this is the Lashon Akeva, and by definition, here we would be talking about the love of the Rabbeinu Shalom for Klal Yisrael, or forget love of Klal Yisrael for the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's what the Mishnah spoke about. Since we mentioned this pasuk, the Gemara now tells us another drasha as well. He sealed the dover acher v'chuli mai kitoim deidecha miyoyim. What's the kavana in these words? Pashup shat kitoim deidecha. Deidecha means the love of a Kaddish Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael is more dear than the most precious wine. You can have precious wine that is from 1842, worth $10,000 a bottle. Ah, gishmak. Any connoisseur says this is the best wine I've ever tasted. This is Kleinigkeit. Kitoim deidecha, the love of the Heilige Beshefet for Klal Yisrael, is much, much greater than the wine. So what's pshat in that pasuk? Ki also Ravdimi Amar Amar Kedas Yisrael Menekadosh Baruch Hu. Klal Yisrael says to Hashem Yisborach, Boi Nishlem Areivim Alay Divrei Doidecha Yoisim Yeyne Shel Toira Semeh Zis. The word Areivis in this connection means pleasant, Zis. It's much more gishmak, divrei doidecha. What's my divrei doidecha? Says Rashi on the second line, divrei sofrim. Means the words of the Heilige Chazal in the Mishnah and in the Gemara are more choshev to me, yoyisim miyene shol toira, than toira shebechsav. So in other words, the way Rav Dimi is dashing the pasuk, toira shebalpeh, which of course, there is no text for it. It's all given to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe to Sinai. What's the din? That is more ziz than the actual words of the Torah Shebuchsav. Frey Timura. Okay, so that's how he darshins the pasuk. The Marsha says.
Just ask you one quick question.
You can ask me up to three quick questions.
I thought the pashup shot in Doidecha is breast milk. Pashup shot. I'm not talking about the way they learn it here.
No. Anila doidi v'doidi li. What does that mean?
But
doesn't mean I am I to my uncle is to me. The decha means to my beloved.
Beloved, right.
Okay, so we're now saying, but Kajborcha Kaviyuchu, your love that you express to me is greater than the sweetness of the sweetest wine.
That is a different thing. It's a chamer at a different place.
Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, why did he seal the Dover Acher? Why did he bring Dafka this Pasik? So we'll see in the Gemara shortly that the Isser on cheese was a recent Isser at the times of Chazal. Of course, by today, it's already almost 2,000 years old. But in the times of the Mishnah, that was a brand new Gzeder. And therefore, what he's telling him is, even though this is only a din derabonon, ki toivim deidecha miyoyin, the words of Chazal today, the Heilige Rabbonon, the Tanoim of the Mishnah, are greater than Yenisho Torah, words written in the Torah Toisha of the Torah Shebechzal. So he lent Mashua Pshat in this Gemara, and you'll see from the flow of the Gemara in another moment. Pray tomorrow, Maishno Haikra Dishaile. Why do you ask him about Epis this Pasik after all? What means he's asking, is it Doidecha or Doidayich? Because Torah Shebechzav, it's not like today you go into a Svarim store and you can go and buy 12 different Nachs, as well as Shir Hashirim in English and Spanish and French, all different languages and all the rest. In those days, there were very, very few copies at all. And therefore, no copies. He had very few originals. So we often have a creek sieve. So we wanted to know the letters. We know what it says. Dalet Vav, Dalet Yichov. Open up your Nach, and you see it written on the parchment. But how do you read it? It's a creek sieve. So the question is, Vosa Pesi asked about this pusik. Can't think of any other pusik in the Torah you should ask him about. Maishna Hay Kradishayde. Pshim Ben Pazu. The same Pshim Bar Ami. Reishid Dekrok Amalei. The reason why he asked him about this pusik again, Rabbi Yehoshua asked Rabbi Shmuel about this pasuk because he was being merameis to the earlier part of the pasuk. What did it say in the beginning of the pasuk? Yishakeni in a shikois peel, ki toivim deidecha miyoyim. Yishakeni, of course, is Kadosh Baruch Hu, kaviyochol, please give me a kiss from the kisses of your mouth. Why? Because your love is even greater than wine. So now, Omalek, Rabbi Yeshua is talking to Rabbi Shmuel, and he says to him, Yishmuel, achi, Mam Taira Brida Rabbi Shmuel. Not that they were brothers, but he means brothers in Torah. Choshoik Susisecha Zu Bezu Val Tavayo Lahoshif. What does that mean? The word Choshoik over here means to go and clench your lips together, clench your mouth together, and Fregnish Azuifel Kashis. You keep on asking each time you're asking me what's the reason for non kosher cheese. And I gave you already one reason, because it's from Nevela. It should go and be only Osir Vachila. And he asked him, if you're telling me that it's Osir because it comes from the cave of a Nevela, guess what? How can we allow Kehanim to go and drink the Renet from a Korban Oila? It should be Osir, you're telling me. You're telling me Meturach Nish. And you see that a Koyin Shadata Yufa drinks that Renet from the cave. Nobody complains. Alts is an Odna. So he said, well, I'll tell you the reason why you can't have non-kosher cheese, because they congeal it in the cave of the Eglas Avodah Zarah, from the Avodah Zarah. No, Avodah Zarah, it should be Asr Ma'ana. So every time Rabbi Yeshua gave him another reason, Rabbi Shmuel kept on responding, Rabbi Shmuel, Tima Toiva, Chashoik Sif Seisecha, close your mouth. What does he mean, close your mouth? Because if you want to give a kiss, you have to close the lips, and then you can go and kiss someone. And therefore, that's what he was being meramis to him in this pasuk. Shekein Meshikos Piyu. Don't immediately ask. I'm going to give you another reason for non-kosher cheese. Another reason. And each time you're going to slug me up, you're shigging up. Afraid tomorrow, my time. Why Taka was Rabbi Shua so sensitive to Rabbi Shmuel? He's allowed to ask him an innocent question. Why can't you eat non-kosher cheese? In other words, cheese for non-akum. You cannot make cheese for non-kosher milk. So what's the problem? Everything more Amma Ulvi Semer of Shmuel Bar Abba, Gzeira Chadoshihi. It was a brand new Gzeira which had just been formulated only a few days earlier, a few weeks ago. Vein Mefakti Kimba. And he didn't want people to Mefakti to start asking too many questions and start having doubts in their mind. Because anytime you have Anaya Gzeira and you come out to Anaya Kolkoira, you'll always have dissidents who will say, Anaya Gzeira, Anaya Chimra, Anaya Chayram, Anaya this, Anaya him, and people will go and dismiss it. This way, you don't tell the reason, you just say that the chief rabbis have gotten together, and they were made a din, no more kosher cheese, sorry, no more buying cheese from an akum. No. What's the reason why? We'll write out a longer chiva later on, but the reason is, Osir, osir, osir. Don't break any kashas. So now what happens is, once it gets ingrained within the populace, and people already know, I don't know what the reason is, but the Chum made this din, once that happens, from that point on, I want to take a seat. Come.
No,
I'm fine.
Let's go.
It's easier.
Okay. So everybody has their thing. So getting back to our Gemara, so it's Gzeir Chadushim and Fakiva, and that's the reason why he didn't want him to ask all these kashas. That's why every time he asked a question, he says, Tima Toiva, Fregnishka Kashas, and Yet Hashem, in a year from now, we will explain to you. So Timura, why do I say a year from now, Rashi says? Because typically, up to 12 months, people in Mefakvik, in the hair, once it's already baked into halacha, that's already become the prevalent minig. Okay. Well, I may not agree with it, I don't understand it, but that's a shoin angefit, you know, it's already the minig of mokum, I can't change it anymore. Zokti Yimura, my gzeirasa, what's taka the reason now for the gzeir? We're saying that it's a gzeir chadosha. We dismiss the two reasons given in the Mishnah because of the kevas nevela and because of the kevas egle avoidazar. But what taka is the reason? So the Gemara is going to again go through a number of possibilities. Nikur doesn't mean what we normally refer to as Nikur, which means to go triberin. Triberin means to go and take out the veins and the fats and all that. Here, Nikur means a bite from a snake. We're afraid that he left the venom. That's, of course, the reason why we, for those that are still makbet today, and in the rural communities where they have snakes, why there's a din of giloy, you're not allowed to leave water or a mashke out because the snake may take a drink from it and leave its venom behind, which of course is dangerous. Tire chaveim, whoever wants it, would you like some water? Would you like to drink? There's no giloy over here. Nothing to worry. Okay. I opened the bottle and it's been okay. So look at Mishum Nikur. Freit Imara. So that's the reason why you don't eat non-kosher cheese, meaning cheese of an Akum, because Chamoira, that he wasn't careful about the milk, he wasn't careful about the rennet, and maybe a Nochesh came and left some venom behind. Valei Malei Mishum Nikur, so let him go and say that that's the reason. In other words, Rabbi Shmuel asks Rabbi Shua, what's the reason? Let him go and tell him. The reason is because of Gilu, because of snake venom. What's the Shaila? Why is he keeping it? The Yanaveilim, it's an Avoidazor. When they made a new gzeira in Eretz Yisrael, like we said before, they would not explain the reason for 12 months shatter of a year. In other words, a whole year of 12 months. Why? There's going to be a year of Talmud Chucham who's going to say, nah, I don't believe in it. Vassal Zazuli, but he's going to go and say, yeah, everybody says, I'm Naya Chimra, Naya Din. No, no. Okay, I'm sorry. Nayadin, people like Nayachimris, Gunish Mangunish. So because of that potential zilzol, they didn't give any reason. After 12 months, it's already become established practice. Mafek Shemanish Kakashis. Fake Dimar, this time that you gave now because of Nikur, because of snake bites and venom, Mekavim for Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah got very angry and he said, El Meyata, Yavsha Tishtri, Yashon Tishtri, leave this cheese over for a lengthy period of time, obviously not in the sun, leave it in the refrigerator, or leave it until it dries out. If that happens, it should be mutter to eat. Why? Yom Rav Chanina. Yovish mutter, eimenich liyavish. Yoshin mutter, eimenich liyashin. Which means, if I have wine, or for that matter, vinegar, which happens to be osir, why is it osir? Because of yayin esach, because of stam yeinav. And what happens if I leave it over for a year, lemoshel, or for a lengthy period of time, where either it dries out, it becomes yavesh, or it becomes yashan, I don't have to worry about any venom of a snake. Why? Because venom of a snake is so potent that ein menichel yavesh, it won't allow for a substance to dry out. It's such a potent substance, it won't allow it to become old. And that being the case, if you find now the cheese, you've held it back for 6 months, and now it's all dry, and now you have to go and take a knife to go and cut it, or it happens to be not dry, but it's old, l'choira, from that point on, I should be able to eat even the cheese manufactured by goyim. Because if the whole shaila is only the venom, that venom is so potent, it wouldn't allow it to become yovish, it wouldn't allow it to become yoshan. The fact that I still have cheese, and obviously after a while it could become sour, it could go become rancid. But what we're saying is, the fact that 6 months later or a year later, the cheese is still intact and is not tefalin, it's not totally didn't go bad, is the chasimim that there was no venom in this cheese. So when I bought it initially, not realizing that it was non-kosher, I wasn't allowed to eat it. I have a good idea. Just leave it for a while, a week, a month, a year, whatever. The Gemara doesn't tell us what this man is. But if I see that at that time it hasn't totally tzefalin, hasn't fallen apart, it's still strong, it is the chasimin that there was no venom in it because the venom would not allow it to. The Yom Rav Chanina, Yovish Mutter, once it dries out, that is like the Ayin Esach or similar, Eimen Yichel Yavish, then Yovish is Mutter because the venom would not allow it to dry out. Yoshin is Mutter when it's old, it wouldn't allow it to become old. The fact that it became dry, became old, is the chasimin that there is no venom, but we don't see that there's a heter to go and eat old cheese, so that cannot be the reason. So it says the Gemara, you're right. Forget about that reason. It's not that likud. Amr b'chanina, the fishi efshe lo b'loy tzichtu chay cholav. It's impossible that it shouldn't have some drops of milk. What means some drops of milk? The mice is azoy. Our Gemara at this point holds that the reason why you're not allowed to buy non-kosher cheese because of chamoira, the goy, poured into the milk when he put the rennet in, besides the kosher milk, he also put in some non-kosher milk. We said non-kosher milk doesn't congeal. You're right, it doesn't congeal. But even if you only had kosher milk, you always have a liquidy byproduct, which in fancy English is called whey. W-H-E-Y. And that, of course, is kosher. If you're using kosher milk, you're putting in the rennet, within twice a day, a week, a month, it all congeals into nice cheese, but it's still liquidy. There's drops of milk still left, and that's called, it's not real milk, it's the byproduct, which is called whey. So Ibazoi Zokti Gemara, what this koi might do is to make it cheaper for producing the cheese, he might have put in 10% to 20% of non-kosher milk. And what's going to happen at the end? You're going to go and buy the cheese from him without realizing that in the cheese there's some non-kosher milk added to it. You're going to say, why would he do that? It doesn't congeal anyway. He figures that anyway there is this whey, this liquidy substance, which comes along with the cheese, and people eat it or don't eat it, but that adds to the weight, that adds to the volume. So I'll throw in some non-kosher milk, which it also adds to the weight and to the volume. That's what I'm afraid of, because he might go and eat the cheese with the non-kosher milk in it. Shmuel says, I have a new reason. What means b'or kevas nevel? Until now we spoke about just the kevas nevel. Now we're talking about the or keva. Now, keva in the Torah is one of the four stomachs that an animal has, and that keva is called in fancy English, the maw, M-A-W. When we were talking about, until now, mamidin oisa b'or kevas, mamidin oisa, the kevas nevela, what we meant is we took out some of the rennet from the keva, we took a separate plastic bowl, they didn't have plastic bowls in those days, but a separate container, filled the milk, the container with milk, you took the rennet from the keva, put it in, let it stand, and miraculously it turned into cheese. Maybe you have to stir it twice. I'm not in the cheese manufacturing business. But that's how you're mamed. Our Gemara is saying we're not talking about you take the rennet from the keva, but rather you mamed it in the oir hakeva itself. The word oir over here means you look at the keva as if it's a leather container, and you put the milk, not take the rennet out and put it into your milk. You took the milk and you put it into the keva. So what difference does all of that make? Because since you're putting in the oil, Rashi says, with gabi rennet, you can talk about that it's pirshuhu. It's waste, like we started off the Gemara today. It's perish. Here, however, the keva itself is certainly nishka pirsha, and in fact, it's fleishiks. And you might have a problem now of busa b'chulav, if you're going to have cheese, which is inside the keva of the animal. So that's the reason why you're not allowed to go and eat it, because you might be eating not just the perish, the rennet, but the keva itself, ashtik b'haima. Ashtik b'haima, if it's a nevela, you're eating nevela meat.
Didn't they take the cheese out of the stomach, and then they used it, the stomach was only in the container when they made it?
100%.
So why are you going to eat the busa of the...
The Shmuel is concerned as you are scooping it out. You don't just pour it over and the cheese comes out. You take it with a nice spoon and you scoop it out. So you might take ashtik keva together with it. Well, if you're just pouring out the rennet, that was just the liquid. You didn't have to scoop anything. If you're putting in the veil itself, you can have potentially eating ashtik neveil. And Rashi said, dus nishka pirsha. Dus is docha ashtik neveil. Okay, so that's a nice teretz of Shmuel. So now the Gemara is medayik. Ha keva gufa sharia isach mashma. It's only because you put it into the oira keva. Oira keva means you put it into the moor, the cave itself. However, if you took out the rennet from it, then it would be mutter. Pray tomorrow, mi amish mul hachi. But then didn't we have a Mishnah? Mishnah mesechtes chulim. Keva so ivit kachom mishel nevela harizu asura. So the Mishnah seems to be repetitive. It says the keva of an ivit kachom, or the keva of a nevela. Both of those, if you extracted Now, if you took the rennet, we're not talking about in the ora cave, you took that cave, and you took that rennet, and you want to put it into milk, you should know it's awesome. And when we were learning the Mishnah, we said to ourselves, if you're telling me that a cave of Oivet Kechovim, by definition it's Nevelim, because a goy doesn't shecht, and even if he does shecht, obviously this is not a qualified shechita, sishtik Nevelim. So we're just repeating ourselves. And Shmuel, in fact, learned that Mishnah. He explained, Choritani. When you're learning the Mishnah, you should learn it. Merge the two together. Kevas, Shchitas, Oivik Kachavim is Ashtik Nevela, and therefore it's Asura. Ah, so we say now that the Keva, again, here the Keva means the rennet that we're pouring out from the Oir HaKeva to manufacture the cheese from the milk. So we're saying that it's awesome. You just gave a teretz now, Shmuel, Pshat, in our Mishnah. Why is cheese of an Oivik Chavim Asur? Because they make it in the Oira Keva. In the Oira Keva, Rashi said, Dusanishka Perish. That's not waste. That's the real McCoy. That's Fleishik. And therefore, you have a real problem of non coding. Can Tzitzindu. Moga Gichu. Tzitzindu. It's on by Yitzchak. Okay. Okay, anyway, getting back to our Gemara. So, L'chayra, we're asking Akasha, why does Shmuel say that the Mishnah is talking about that the Akum's cheese is Bior Kevis Nevela, is the Chmasha, the Kevit itself, would be Mutter. Shmuel, in learning Mesech Tzchul, in that Mishnah, there it talks about the cave of the Oivik Chavim, and Shtei Tacharizu Asura. And why is it Asur? Shmuel said, because it's Nevela. So why do you have to come on to the Oira Keva, just talking about the cave itself, the rennet that you pour into the mouth? It's more like kasha. This is shenishka kasha. Why nishka kasha? Because kan koydim chazora kan li acher chazora. Umishle zozem mim koyma. What does Yomar mean over here, chazora and nishka chazora? Because you remember when we learned back in Daf Choftes, and we started off today's Daf, Rabbi Shmuel asked Rabbi Shua, tell me, mimneima osru gevinois oivdichachom. Why did they say gevinois oivdichachom are osru? So Omullah, he told him what we just said now. Nisha midin oisa bekeva shel nevela. Not the ora keva, bekeva shel nevela, which what was Shmuel was explaining in Mesechtas Chulin, because you go and take the rennet, that liquid from the keva, you pour it into the milk, and that's why it's osru. And then he said, dus konuch nezayin, because we have the same rennet from an carbon oila, which is kodesh kedushim, and you take that, and mi koyin shedata yufa sarfachaya. A koyin who is not so finicky, he goes and drinks from that rennet. Why don't we go and tell him, you're being moil behegdish, tzlach kodesh kedushim, tzlach korban oila, how could you go and do that? Because the answer is it's really perish, and therefore pirisha. Pirisha means it's just waste, and therefore you can eat it. Ah, so then the same thing applies to that rennet from the carbon, from the kevish on the veiler. So the Gemara, therefore, was doiche that pshat. That's why Shmuel says, Rabbi Yisai, the Mishnah already was doich of that pshat. I'll tell you the reason. It's not because we take the rennet out of the keva and we pour it into the milk, rather because we're pouring the milk into the oira keva, into the animal stomach, which is nishka pirsha, does a chivik from the animal, zachriel basar, and that's why it's awesome. But that Mishnah over there in Masechtas Chulin sounds like the first pshat that we gave in our Mishnah, because it said that keva of an Oivik Chavim is Nevela, and that's why the cheese is Asur. Says Yimura, that was Lifnei Koidim Chazor. Chazor means that we've changed the Pshat in our Mishnah. Originally, that's what Taka Rabbi Yeshua said to Rabbi Shmuel, but then Rabbi Yeshua had to withdraw that Pshat. Efreitach good from the case of the Oila, where the Koyin Shedat Yova drinks from that rennet. So therefore, says Yimura, our Mishnah is talking about Koidim Chazor before we changed our mind. And the Mishnah there in Mesechtas Chulin is also talking about before we changed our mind. Koinim Chazar.
So at this point, Rabbi, based on this, Pirsha alone is Mutter.
Based on
according to this.
Yes, yeah, that's correct.
We're going to get Asher in a second, but for now it sounds Mutter. Okay, got it.
Correct. Well, Mishnah is also Mekoyim, even though Mesechtas Chulin is after Mesechtas Avodah Zarah, it's the next Seder HaMishnah is into Kodshim. But nevertheless, once Rebbe would codify the Mishnah, Mishnah is also Mekoyim, we left it in place.
Wow.
New teretz, another pshat, and we had this already a few days ago in the Gemara. What's another reason why cheese of an akum is osur to eat? Ramalkiyah. Remember we had Ramalkiyah, Ramalkiyoi. mishmeid of adabar havam amnesha machlikin ponea bishumin chazir. Because when they go and finish preparing the cheese to make it appealing to the oilam, they go and smear the top of it with schmaltz from a chazir. Schmaltz from a chazir, what is it? Nothing to do with the cheese. No, it's geschmiert with the shumin chazir on top. Rav Chisda amam nesha mamidin oisa b'choymet. The reason is because they mamid b'choymet. B'choymet means vinegar, not stam vinegar, but vinegar that originally was wine, and therefore has a din of yayin nesach, or a din of stam yenam. Yayin nesach, stam yenam, it's oser b'chila, oser, not only b'chila, even b'anoah. The one is going to ask, oi bazoi, it should be oser to go and sell the non-kosher cheese, because oser b'anoah. The one will ask that shortly. Another reason, you know how they're mamid it, how does it congeal? Because they put in sraf, sap of an orla tree. You're not allowed to eat orla. Oh, sir, it's only not only in Israel, it's Israel no as well. Kiman ki haitana, where did we ever find this concept that you can congeal milk into cheese by using the sap of an orla? Ki haitana, it's not the sign you did not. Rebleza Oimer, Hamamid Bisrafa Orla is awesome, Neshihu Peri, because the sap of an orla tree is just like the pre, just like you're not allowed to eat the pre of an orla tree, you're not allowed to have the sap of an orla tree. Ah, so Ibazo Izokti Yamura, how can we go and say that the Sraf Orla is Imam and makes it awesome? Like Rebleza. So tomorrow, no, Afilatim Rabbi Shua. This is already unanimous. It's not just Reb Lezer, Reb Shua could also agree. Because Ad Kan Lifa Reb Shua later Reb Lezer. In that other Mishnah, Reb Shua disagreed that Reb Lezer legabi the sap of an orla tree, ele bekatfa de guza. That's of the sap of the tree itself. Of bekatfa de peira. If you're talking about the sap that comes out of the peirois, that already, moidi, everybody agrees. In other words, of course, I'm not in the agriculture business. However, there are two types of sap that are emitted by a tree. The sap from the bark and from the fibers, like we learned yesterday, but the date farm, date museum. But besides that, each peri itself has sap of some type. If the sap comes from the peri, then kuli alamoid. And apparently that's the sap that they use to mamid the milk and make it into cheese. It's a chorla. Find that none. We learned in Mishnah. We be sure. Shemati beferish. Shemabed besrafu alim. Besrafa ikrin. That's mutter. Because then you're talking about the leaves and you're talking about the roots. A besrafa pagin. Pagin means the fruits themselves. Osir amneishu peri. Oh, so that's the reason why it's osir to go and consume and to eat the cheese of an akum because of the sraf of the peris of orla. Or the reason because of the choymit, which is yayin nesach. Because both by Yayin Nesach as well as by Orla, there's not only Isra Chila and Isra Shtib, but Isra No. So Tumar Kasha, good Gefreit, and these two Pshatim Lechoyra is all Gefreit, and we go back to the original reason, Machlikin Poneho Bishuman Chazir, Avram Malkiya. Now, since we spoke about in the Mishnah and earlier about the Pasuk in Shira Shirim, the Gemara goes back to the story of Nachum Reid of Chizb Ma'id Chizib Shein Pasuk L'Reach Shmonecha Toivim. What does that mean? The Reach of the Shemen is good. The Gemara is telling us that this Pasuk is a remez, an allusion to a Talmud Chacham. He's like a Sloichi Shal Plaitin. Sloichi Shal Plaitin means like a bottle with perfume. Megula, if you open up the cover of the perfumed of this perfume bottle, then rechanoid, if you could smell the perfume. Ah, kishmak. Bechusim, but if it's covered up, ain't rechanoid. Vloyoid. El dvorm shebechusim imenu, things that when the Talmud Chacham starts learning for the first time, they're mechusa, he doesn't know it, after all he's struggling for the first time. However, over time, it's galenloid. Then it becomes revealed. Shinema, the pasuk continues on, alomois ahivucha. The Pashup Shan, the word Alomais means Vahoyo Alma Hayoitis Lishoy. It means a young maiden, a young girl. However, here the Dashanimura, Alomais from Aloshan Helam, Vinelam Mimenu, Kori Bey Alumois, things which previously were Nelam, were Mechusa, now they become Miskala. Ah, so therefore, L'Reach Shbenachatoivim, the reason why Talmud Chacham is like Reach, if it's covered over, if you close up the bottle, you don't smell the Reach, you open it up, you smell the Reach. Same thing, the Gabi, it says in the Pasuk, Alomis Ehivucha. Originally it was Helam, he didn't know it, but then he learned it, Kishmak, mit Be'iyun, and then he became a Grace of Talmud Chacham, now Miskalon Loi. Nochapshat, says the Gemara. Sorry? Helam. You have Nela Mimenu. You have this
like
package.
Not known,
exactly. Okay. So something was not known, and now it becomes familiar to him. Okay. And not only that, the Malach HaMavis sees he's a real grace of Talmud Chacham, he becomes his friend. Shenemar, Alomis Ahivucha, Kribe Almovis Ahivucha. Even the one that is in charge of Movis, the Malach HaMavis, Ahivucha is also going to love you. Hopefully that love will have some fringe benefits and you'll live a little bit longer. V'loi Oid, Elishenoicha Shnei Alomis, a person that Talmud Chacham, he gets two Oilomis. Echer Oilom Azeb, the Echer Oilom Babar, Shenemar, Alomis. It's a very beautiful drush, it's all from one pasuk there in Shirashim. On to the next Mishnah. The previous Mishnah was back on Daf Chof Tes, six blot ago. And what did we learn over there? We start off the Mishnah, Asurin, the Suran Isser Hanoah. Now our Mishnah starts the other way. It's only an Isser Achila Ushtia, but not an Isser Hanoah. Okay, so let's see. Cholav Shecholavay Ovicham. If you have what we call Cholav Akum, an Akum went and he's selling milk to you in his container, you think it's kosher milk, but you never know. Maybe this milk comes from a camel, maybe it comes from a horse, you don't know. And there is no mashgiach to go and tell you that this is milk from a kosher animal. So you're now going to go and drink it. The fact that it's non-kosher is no, you're now going to eat, you're now going to drink. But there's no Isra Hanoah. A Yid is allowed to go and sell non-kosher products. V'ha pas, v'ha shemen shalehen. The pas means the, by the way, this is chul of akim. It's not the same as what we call today stam, chul of stam. Chul of stam is a term that was created by Ramosha Zatzal. Ramosha said that the chul of that we have today, since there's such heavy government supervision, therefore it's not in the same category as chul of akim. And you can assume that it's kosher milk, because if one of the non-kosher dairy companies were to go and sell twice camel milk or something like that, they'd be out of business in 24 hours.
In America.
In America, yeah, in America. Shkoyach. Not everybody.
Not Indonesia.
Those that do not rely on it, those that do not rely on this Hetzer Moshe, because they say Moshe himself was a machmir, and he didn't rely on his own Hetzer. However, if you live in Echwais, Ori Hamadinois, in Echwais in Iowa or wherever, you can't go and get Chol of Yisrael, it's a problem. So that's why he was Matir Chol of Stam. Anyway, continuing on. Vapas Vashemin Shalahen, bread from an Akum, and Shemin of an Akum, Rabbi is also Osir Bachila because of Exeir. However, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Beis Dinoi, Hetiro Hashem, and they said, no, you're allowed to go and buy Tunisian oil. No problem. Pas, you cannot, but not the oil. Rashi is very upset about this girsa in the Mishnah. He says, "Skonish zayin." Why? Because initially they did have such an iser, both in Pas and Shemen. Who was Matu the Shemen? Not Rabbi Yehuda Nasi the Tana, but Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, who was his einikol. His einikol, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, was not a Tana, he was only an Amoyer. So the Mishnah should not incorporate the words of a heter of later generations in the Mishnah itself. Therefore Rashi says, take it out. Okay, continuing on. Vashlokish. Shlokish means something that was cooked. Anything cooked by a goy, even, says Rashi, it was only kosher ingredients, and it was agikashit to getoivil to kli, if it's cooked by a goy, bishal akum, awesome. Ukvasim, kvasim, that's something which is you preserve by pickling it, like pickles, or any other type of item. I'm sorry?
With kosher products.
But what's the reason why it's osir bachila b'shtia? Shdark and losir l'toichi yayim v'choyim is because itaka put in non-kosher products. So the shlokis problem was, says Rashi, mishum chasnus. Chasnus means, if your neighbor who's a goy calls you in and says, I use only kosher ingredients to make this beautiful brew and it's a delicious soup and I'll show you all the ingredients and blah, 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 blah. You can't eat there because if you eat from that bishalakim, you'll become, oh, it's taka so good. Oh, you have a daughter and I have a son. Maybe we can go and make a shirach. Here the Kvashim over here is not talking about Mishum Chasnas, but because of non-kosher ingredients, you pour in the Yayin V'choymet, which could be Yayin Nesach or Stam Yainim, which makes us.
Why couldn't they just say that it's like bishul, but it's because isn't...
Gemara Eltzvist says, Kavish Avikir Mubashim.
Yeah.
Grecht. Over here, I guess the Gemara didn't want to rely on it, and the Gemara is saying,
Kavoshin is... literally say because of non-kosher.
Okay. It's really non-kosher, because you put a non-kosher ingredient.
Okay.
Good. V'tirias trufa. Tirias, says Rashi, is min dogim ketanim, small little fish lach, which they used to go in trufa, they used to go mince them, they used to crush them, take them with, you know, say, a fork and a knife, and they would go and make them into small little pieces. What's the problem with these? Says Rashi, since you're buying it, it's like buying tuna fish in a can. Tuna fish doesn't grow like that in the water, all minced together in small little pieces. They took the big tuna fish and they made it and they chopped it into small little pieces. What happens by accident or on purpose, they also had non-kosher fish. And they say that that's, I'm not in the kosher business, but they say that's the reason why you should go and buy a tuna fish with a good hechsher, because they have dolphins swimming together with the tuna fish, and these large boats, they go and catch fish or 100 fish together in one time in one big net, and they're all tuna, except for one that might be a dolphin or not. So therefore, you have to make sure you have a good hashkocha on it so they didn't mix in non-kosher fish. Not on purpose. Butl b'shishim is not git b'dieven, not l'chadchila. That's number one. Number two, ber yeshani. Asali b'dika fish, zutman shuftem as a butl eins in a fill in a tozen. As a ber yeh, hatzchishiv is b'fnei atzma. Just a b'dieven. That's why l'chadchila, m'tun ishasim fin azazach. B'dieven, it's a shoner angemish. That's a very interesting concept. The tzir that we're talking about over here is kosher fish yolch, no problem, or water which lives with the kosher fish, and there's something known as a doga kilbis. Doga kilbis already gives you the idea, from Lushan Kelev, that it's a non-kosher fish. And this non-kosher fish used to swim together with the kosher fish, and therefore if you had tzir which had a doga kilbis in it, you knew that this is kosher fish, you have nothing to worry about. However, if there was no doga kilbis over there, oh yeah, yeah, kosher number blank. Maybe there's non-kosher fish mixed in. Says Rashi, the doga kilbis only had Jewish friends. It did not have any non-Jewish friends, non-kosher fish. So if you had any non-kosher fish, is the chasimin that if the doga kilbis was there, then no non-kosher fish swimming around. But if there's no doga kilbis, consign that they're a bunch of non-kosher fish. V'achilik. Chilik is the name of a fish. And Rashi says in French or whatever it's called, sultanis, what's so special about it is it starts off when it's young without any simunim. Just like by a yingle, it's a maidla. You have to wait till 12 or 13 to get simuni saris. Here, when these dogim ktanim are born, created by Kodesh Baruch Hu, they have no snapper vikaskeses. It only grows later on, like 6 months later, a year later. And because of the fact that it has no snapper vikaskeses, all the goyish fish don't mind being friends. They're not anti-Semites, because they're mitzochnishka kosher fish. It doesn't have snapper vikaskeses. So only in later years, the snapper vikaskeses. So therefore, when you're having chilik, the problem is, you cannot easily be mechalik between the kosher chilik fish and the non-kosher fish, because none of them have snapper vikaskeses, and therefore, usim. Kartzul chist chult has nothing to do with fish. Here we're talking about peiros, and this is a peiros which has a very sharp tam, like a lemon lemushel, that if you cut it with a knife, if this knife happens to be a treifa knife that was used for shuman, for chalev, even though you wash the knife very, very carefully, the acid effect of the lemon draws out the shuman into the lemon and therefore becomes awesome. Umelach shalkundis, Rashi says, wait for daf lamet testing, more will explain. All of these things are ailing surin, but surin isra, not only in isra chilo, isra shtia, but not in isra hana. So, Timar, we started off the Mishnah, if you have a goy that milks. Cholav lamay nechishla, what do you have to worry about? Imishum ichlufi tohar chiver tome yoroik. Anybody that's a shtikl mevin on kosher and non-kosher milk can easily distinguish between the kosher milk, which is chiver, which is white, and the non-kosher milk that comes ichweis from a camel or from a horse, which is yorek. Yorek over here doesn't mean green, it means yellow. It has a yellow tint to it. And therefore, you can easily tell. You're worried about that you're going to go, that the goy may have mixed the two together. Why don't you try to go and put in a little bit of the rennet and see if it stands? The omamah, in other words, if it coagulates and becomes cheese. The omamah, like we learned already before, cholef tor, or you made cholef tami enem. So this is the best test to see whether it's taka real kosher milk or not. If the reason why he bought the milk in the first place, he wants to make into cheese, then you're right, you can go and test it, put an ashtikala in it, and you'll see, does it congeal, doesn't it congeal? He doesn't want to drink the milk, and he doesn't want it for cheese, he wants to put it into kumcha. Kumcha is a type of dip, the Gemara called it kutach, like a milchige yogurt, that type of thing. And therefore, it says, he wants to say, I don't want to make vina out of it. So tomorrow, okay, so you don't want to make vina. Go and take a leffel of this milk that the goy is selling you, vinekim, and put it down, add some rennet, and let's see. So tomorrow, kimen de betor, nami ikan nesuve, like we had before, nesuve de chala, that the shuvah the cholov, that even by kosher milk, the whey doesn't congeal. You always have some liquid left over. If you're only going to go and take as a leffel full of some milk, and you're going to try to make it into cheese, even if it doesn't become cheese, there's no raya from that, because you always have some piece or some part of it that doesn't congeal into milk, into cheese, which we call the whey, W-H-E-Y. So that wouldn't be a good proof. Even if you say he needs it for cheese, you'll always have a little bit that's going to be there between the holes in the cheese. In other words, when you make cheese, especially hard cheese, you always see holes over there. It's not that somebody bore a hole in it. That's the way these things work, I guess. And therefore, you always find a little bit of liquid in it. So even if he's making the shem gvina, and you see at the end, oh, you see it turned into cheese. Is the charai that is kosher? Yeah, but you see if there's a little bit of liquid there in the holes. And that little bit of liquid, that might be from the non-kosher milk that he mixed in at the same time. Stop over here, Rabbi Yisai. Have a wonderful day. Shkoyach, hatzlocha.